And welcome to the gospel meeting. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for being here. Have you been enjoying your time here at the conference? Just a wonderful time to be able to get together, to be together under the sound of God's word, enjoy some fellowship, enjoy some food. And hey, thanks for sticking around for the gospel meeting tonight. We're glad that you're here. We have a life-changing message for you. And we're excited about it. And we're going to begin by singing a song in the songbook number 35. Begins with the words, "Oh, what a Savior that He died for me," referring to Jesus. "From condemnation He hath set me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life." And tonight, you can leave this room. You can walk out the door having eternal life. It's marvelous. Number 35. "Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say, Tonight, many in this room have everlasting life. And tonight, you can have it too. Tonight, you can leave knowing your sins forgiven. You can leave knowing Jesus as your Savior. And you can walk out saying, I too have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful tonight that we can preach the gospel. We pray that each and every one in this room would know how much you love them, how much you care about them, how you long to set them free from their sins, how you long to impart eternal life to them. We pray that the scriptures read would penetrate the hearts. We pray that thy Holy Spirit would have liberty. And tonight we pray that we would have the joy of seeing and knowing of ones who accept you as their own personal Savior. We ask for thy help, giving thanks in thy worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to also sing one for the children. As Mr. So mentioned this morning, Sunday school is not just for the children, but it could be for somebody who's 70. And the gospel meeting is not just for adults, it's also for children. So tonight, this message is for every single person in this room. Everyone. I was playing with my nieces one time in Columbus, and they were asking me about my daughter, Jewel, who was probably 2 or 3 at the time. And I mentioned that she's probably not old enough to get saved. She just doesn't understand. But I was rebuked when Rosemary asked me, when you say come, does she know how to come? And tonight, if you understand that, you understand the invitation to come, you're old enough to get saved. So whether you're 3 or 4, or whether you're 104, this message is for you. And as we sing number 40, the wonderful song that reminds us that Jesus loves you and Jesus loves me. I love singing this song. Please join me as we sing it. Let's sing the first verse and the second verse of number 40. Let's stand for this one, please.
Jesus loves me.
Again, before we get started, we want to welcome any who have joined us since we started. Thank you. We know that on a Sunday evening, you have choices, and you could choose to be somewhere else. You could choose to be at home. You could choose to be out on the lake. You could choose to be doing some type of activity, but thank you for choosing to be here. We appreciate you being here, and so thank you for everyone who is here. If there are any of the staff here from the Carrollton camp, just wanted to let you know how much we appreciate you letting us rent this facility and being here. It's gorgeous. We're having a wonderful time, so thank you to the staff here. For those who are listening to this recording, perhaps driving down the road, running on their treadmill, whether here in North America or around the world, we thank you that you could be a part of this gospel message tonight. Thank you for taking time to listen to the message, so thank you for that. Just a couple other things in connection with your phone. If you are following along on the Bible app, you're welcome to do that. Just a couple of reminders. ESPN is not a Bible app. So if you are on that, please make sure that you're not on that. And also, if you're on the app that is NEWS, that is also not an app that we're on. We're following on the Bible app. So whether you're following along in God's Word or whether you're on your phone, we just would love it if you would open your Bible, if you would just follow along so that you can see that what we are presenting tonight is not something that I made up. It's not some theory, not some idea, but it's some wonderful truths from God's precious Word. And He wants you to know it, and I want you to know it too. So before we begin, if you have a Bible, let's open it up to the Psalm 119. And we're going to start with verse 161. The middle of verse 161. And it's a good idea if you have a finger or a pencil or a pen or something that you can just touch the Word of God with so you can follow along, just so that you can enjoy, just as I enjoy the Word of God, and you can see it with your eyes. Psalm 119, verse 161, it says, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." I'm glad you're here tonight. This is a message, this is a meeting that can change your life. And I want to begin by letting you know how thankful you should be that you're here and you're alive. Because this past week, three different people that I know passed away. On Tuesday, we got a phone call that Christina, my wife Christina, her grandmother, went home to be with the Lord. She was 89 years old on Friday. She was walking, she fell, she broke her hip and she broke her shoulder, and due to some other medical conditions, they weren't able to perform the surgery, and on Tuesday, she went home to be with the Lord. On Wednesday, I was at the prayer meeting, and I was mentioned, Mike, that your father went home to be with the Lord. On Thursday, my wife and children, we were sitting in the funeral home of the father whose seven daughters over the course of about 15 years had come to Vacation Bible School. And we were there for his funeral. I was expecting to go with my dad to visit him this summer, but he's with the Lord now. So three people in 1 week. And as far as I know, the good news is that each and every one of them, all three of them, are with the Lord. But I'm reminded that life happens, that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So I want you to listen extra carefully, because what if the next one we heard about was yours? Where would you be? The casket was laid out and your body was placed there. Where would you be? For each one of those three individuals that I mentioned, for them it is too late. For them, they can't make a decision and say, I want to be with Jesus, or I want to have nothing to do with the gospel. Where they are is based on the decision they made while they were still living. So if you are still alive, which includes everyone in this room, tonight is your night. Tonight is your opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. We're going to look at a story this evening. It's a true story. It comes from the Bible and comes from the book of 2 Kings. And you can open up to 2 Kings chapter 5 because that's where we're going to be reading from. Thank you. Mr. Rusink earlier this afternoon referenced this story, and I'd like to look at it in the connection of making it with the gospel. And I like this story because I can present the gospel clearly from it. And I also like the story because it has a happy ending. And don't you like stories that have happy endings? I like the story that has a happy ending. And tonight you can have a wonderful ending to this gospel meeting and a wonderful new beginning tonight. Now, this is a story about a man, but I want you to put yourself in the place of this man. His man's name was Naaman, and he was an adult. So it doesn't matter if you're a young child, doesn't matter if you're the middle school student who's here tonight, doesn't matter if you're that cool high school student who's here, or that soon-to-be college student who is going to know so much more than your parents and everybody else, or the adult in this room. This is a life-changing story. It was a life-changing event for Naaman, and we can have a life-changing event for you tonight. So please follow along. We're going to look at it in 2 Kings chapter 5. It says in 2 Kings chapter 5, now Naaman, that's the man, and he's going to be the one that we're going to be doing most of the looking at tonight. It says he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. We'll just stop right there. That's pretty impressive. That's what we would say, and I'm going to use a big word. He had some nice, what are called credentials. He had some nice things to be said about him. And I think tonight, if we were to learn a little bit about you, we could learn some nice things about you. Probably you were a good student at school. Probably are pretty well behaved, right? Probably do a pretty good job of getting along with your siblings most of the time, right? Probably do a pretty good job of listening to your parents most of the time, right? But do you do it all the time? For the adults in this room, you probably do a nice job of raising your children, probably are a conscientious worker at work, and probably help out with other activities. So a lot of nice things that we can say about you too, right? A lot of amazing things to be said about Naaman. But after the word valor here, there's what's called a comma, and it says, but he was a leper. So all those nice things that we could read about this man, but there's a comma. Just go ahead and make a little comma in the air, okay? Can you make that comma? But he was a leper. And tonight, all those nice things that we can say about you, we have to also put that comma there. But unless you know Jesus as your Savior, you are like I was at one time. You are a sinner. And that's the truth for every single person. God says in his word, and he makes no mistakes, so that means it's 100% true. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So regardless of what we've done or who we think we are, we have to put that comma in there And I need you to acknowledge tonight what God says, that unless you know him as your Savior, we're a sinner. Okay? And I think that you know from the heart that that's true, don't you? Have you met anybody who is perfect before? Nobody's perfect. We all have sinned. We all are born with a nature that wants to do things that are not right. The Bible also lets us know in Isaiah, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We all want to do our own thing. We all want to go our own way. And we all have come up short. I've got good news that's coming, but I need to make sure that we all understand that, okay? Because if we don't understand that, and in the story of Naaman, it's not going to make sense in the end when the remedy is provided, is it? So I need us all to see, and let's be honest tonight. Let's not try to pretend, because that's not going to get us anywhere, but let's just be honest tonight. In the eyes of a God who can look down through this beautiful wood ceiling and see into our hearts that we are sinners and that we can't save ourselves. We're helpless sinners and we need a Savior. Good news is coming, but I need to begin by presenting it this way. Naaman had a lot of nice credentials after his name, but there's the comma. Go ahead and quietly make that comma in the air. But he was a leper. And because he had that disease of leprosy, which tonight I'm going to be making it like sin, he was separated from others. And he couldn't enjoy the relationship with others like a normal person could. Hey, let's read and find out what happens. Verse 2, it says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, a little girl. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What I like about verse 3 is she said, would God my Lord. Has there been somebody in your life who has tried to talk to you about the Lord? Someone who knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, maybe kind of somebody like your dad, maybe somebody like your mom, maybe somebody like your Sunday school teacher. Is this starting to bring back memories of when grandpa would talk to you about the Lord Jesus, when your grandma would talk to you about the Lord Jesus? Somebody who knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior and was trying to share him with you. You might not have always appreciated that, and you still might not appreciate that, but be thankful, because they know what's at stake, and they want to see you get saved. And this little girl knew that Naaman's life could be changed. And as I stand up here tonight, and as many in this room know, your life can be changed tonight. Not because of anything that we've done, but all because of someone we're going to be talking about tonight, about what he did and how he can save you. It's wonderful, isn't it? Tonight, can you say, God, my Lord? Tonight, can you say, Jesus is my Savior? Well, this little girl, she opened her mouth and she told her mistress. And just a quick challenge for the ones who are here tonight who are saved, you don't have to be 41 years old like myself to stand up and tell someone about the Lord Jesus. Do you have a mouth? You can tell your friends. You can tell your siblings. Do you have Twitter? Do you have Facebook? Well, I don't talk. Well, maybe you could put a Bible verse on there. Maybe you could put a bumper sticker on your car. Each and every one in this room, you can share the good news with people that I don't know and people that others in this room don't know, but you know. That's what she did. So I challenge you and encourage you as you go back to your homes this week to tell others about Jesus. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Well, what happens? Let's read verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Do you think all of those possessions and all of that money was going to heal this man Naaman of his leprosy? Was that going to get the job done? It wouldn't. Now let's make the application to our life. Are our possessions, the things that we own, our toys, our cars, our money, could we use those to get our salvation? We can't. We can't use anything that we have to get our salvation. That's not going to satisfy God. You know what satisfies God? It's something that had to be shed on Calvary's cross, and it was blood. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Blood had to be shed, and it couldn't have been blood from just an individual person like you and I. It had to come from a certain person, a person who had never sinned, who had never done anything wrong, a person who couldn't sin. Oh, help me out. Who do you think that person was? Jesus. I think you had the right answer, but didn't want to say it out loud, and that's okay. Jesus. And Jesus shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross so that we could have our sins forgiven. Our possessions, our money, they can't save us. It can't save you. It won't. It never will. Verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, listen carefully, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. What I want you to know is that he was given specific instructions of what he would need to do to have his leprosy cleansed. And tonight, before this meeting is over, I'm going to give you a specific instruction in what you need to do. With Naaman, it's going to be crystal clear. He's going to know exactly where to go, exactly what to do. Okay? We don't work our way to heaven, but I will make it very clear to you tonight what is required of you, and I hope that tonight you will make that step and that you will accept the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But it wasn't left to chance. He didn't have to guess about it. He didn't have to whatever. He just needed to simply obey. That's right. He needed to obey. And tonight, that's what we want you to do is to obey. Well, Naaman, he didn't like the instructions. And sometimes when somebody hears the gospel that first time or several times, they don't like it. But know that God is working, and God is working in your heart tonight. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought Don't think of anything else right now. Just listen to what God has to say. He gives clear instructions, and Jesus is the only way. If you think you have another way, stop. There's no other way. It's all through Jesus. Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abna and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to accept it. Tonight, don't be like Naaman. Don't say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen to that. I'm glad there's only 12 minutes left, and then I'll be able to go outside and do something else. Don't be like Naaman. Don't be like that. Listen. It can change your life. How thankful we can be for Naaman's servants, and how thankful it is, or how wonderful it is when you can continue to tell your friends and neighbors and loved ones about Jesus. Verse 13, it says, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Sometimes people like to think, oh, if I can just do this to get my salvation, if I can just do that. No, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us are going to get to heaven and say, you know what? I'm here in heaven because of what I did. Not because of what we did, is it? It's all because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Remember I said this story has a happy ending? Let's go down to verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was obedient. He did what he was instructed to do. Oh, he didn't want to do it at first, but his servants encouraged him to do it. And finally, he did it. His wife couldn't do it for him. His children couldn't do it for him. He had to do it himself. Did you know that your daddy can't save you? Did you know that your mommy can't save you? Did you know that your best friend can't save you? You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior yourself. Nobody else can do it for you. We can encourage you to do it, and we're going to encourage you to do it tonight. We can pray for you. And you probably know that there are people right now in this room who are praying for you. Tonight is your night. The end of verse 1, the last word in verse 1, I believe it says, is he was a leper. The last word in verse 14, it says, and he was clean. This story, and it's a true story, has a happy ending. Naaman was obedient, he did what he was told, and he was clean. So we need to start bringing this all together. We only have about 10 minutes left. How does this story apply to you? How does this story apply to me? Here it is. God loves you, and he loves you more than you ever know. He loves you with a love that we can't even measure. You remember the song from Sunday school, wide, wide is the ocean, high is the heavens above. That's God's love for you. Josh and I were talking down by the water earlier today, and he was mentioning about God and his incredible creation and just how he made creation. But then he went on to say it's incredible to think that his delights were with the sons of men. The beauty that we see around us and how wonderful it is, yet God is personally interested and personally cares about you and he loves you. But you see, we have that sin that I was talking about, because we all have sin, and our sins have separated us from God. God wants to have that relationship with us, but our sins have separated us from him. And the only thing that can bring us back to him was God would send his son, the Lord Jesus, into this world, which he did. And he went to Calvary's cross. And there on Calvary's cross, he died as a substitute. Okay, so substitute is a big word. I'm a school teacher. And sometimes I'm not at school. And if I'm not at school, there's what's called a substitute teacher. Somebody fills in for me, right? You guys ever had a substitute teacher in your classroom? Have you behaved yourself when there's a substitute teacher in your classroom? We needed someone who would die for us. And Jesus came and died on Calvary's cross for us. And his precious blood was shed. The precious blood which we read in the Bible, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So his precious blood was shed. He took on the punishment for our sins. He was taken off the cross, was placed in a tomb. But we know the rest of the story. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and was alive. And later went back to heaven where he is tonight. And the Bible says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, what? The forgiveness of sins. So Jesus is the one who tonight can forgive you of your sins. Jesus is the one who can set you free. Jesus is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. There is salvation in no other. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So Jesus is the only one who can take those sins away. Jesus is the only one who can fill that void, that emptiness that is in your heart. Jesus is the only one who can deliver you, who can save you from going to hell in the lake of fire. Where are you in this story tonight? At the beginning of the chapter, Naaman was there and he was a leper. By the time we got to verse 14, he had done what he was told to do. And he was clean. Remember, I told you didn't have to go and dip in the Jordan. You don't have to do this. Here's what you need to do tonight. Jesus is offering you eternal life. You need to accept it. That's what you need to do. Jesus has done all the work on Calvary's cross. Tonight, you need to acknowledge, Lord, I have sinned. But I believe you died for me. I accept your gift of eternal life. And if you do that, you can have eternal life. You can be clean. You can have your sins forgiven. Here's what you and I both know. If you wait and put it off, you're still going to be in the same condition you are in right now, aren't you? But if something were to happen to you, you would be in hell if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Life happens. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You and I both know that if we put it off, we might not accept the Lord Jesus tonight as our Savior. Something could happen. Maybe nothing will happen tonight. Maybe nothing will happen next week, but a week will go by, a month will go by, 6 months from now, it'll be January 1st, right? Don't put it off. So I'm going to encourage you tonight to make that step, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have about 4 minutes left. This is the most important decision you will ever make. And I want you to know right now, we love you. We want to see you make that decision. I'm not going to ask you to come up out of your seat right now, but I am going to ask you to not even put it off till tomorrow, to settle this right now, in the next 2 minutes, next 3 minutes, to not walk out of the doors of this building. Don't even wait till you get to your hotel room. You'll get distracted by other things. You'll want to talk to your friends. You want to look at the pretty water down there. You want to do something else. This is your time right now. This is your time to accept Jesus as your Savior. This is your time to be clean. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray for you right now, and then I'm going to ask that we just have some quiet time for those in this room to make that decision. Let's just bow our heads real quick. Lord, we just pray for those in this room, for those who are listening to this recording, who have not yet accepted Thee as their Savior. Oh, tonight we pray that they would see how much You love them, how You desire to set them free. We pray that tonight they would accept You as their own personal Savior. We ask this in Your worthy and precious name. Amen. Tonight I ask you, do you believe that Jesus is able to save you? Yes. Do you believe that He is ready to do that right now? Yes. Are you ready to do that right now? What I want you to do is just bow your head. And in your own words, just like you would talk to your friend, just like you would talk to your brother, obviously not audible, but if you want to pray out loud, you can. Just put it in your own words, Lord Jesus. I believe I am a sinner. I believe You died for me. I believe You shed Your blood for me. I accept Your gift of eternal life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen. You just put it in your own words. But as long as it is from the heart, we're going to give you 30 seconds right now to make that step. I don't want you to wait. I want you to do it tonight. Boast not to yourself of tomorrow. Go. Congratulations. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight, you are part of the family. Your sins have been forgiven. You're now on your way to heaven. Death and judgment are behind you. You have the Holy Spirit now indwelling. The ones in this room who know Jesus as your Savior, they are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Welcome to the family. We're going to close by singing number 5. After we sing this song, I will mention this. If you still have any questions, if something that I said was unclear or needs further clarification, just please meet me back there. I'll be there with my wife and children. Reach out to somebody else, too. Don't have to come to me. Just reach out to someone. Just let them know that you need help. We want to see you get saved. We'll sing the first verse of number 5. Oh, happy day that is my the chance to preach the gospel tonight. May the entrance of thy words bring light. May tonight there be ones who would accept you as their own personal Savior. We ask this in the name and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.